Mullion Haw.
Longtime listener, huge fan of the show.
On 670 The Score.
Goes back to, for Caleb in particular, just his spatial awareness and, you know, his ability to see the full picture, knows where everyone is, and that's where I see it with him, you know, as he continues to develop, you know, really just getting a handle on the reps and the accumulated reps of certain concepts. But as far as seeing the picture and then being able to get to different windows or different rush lanes that he finds, you know, he's got that natural ability.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the voice of Shane Waldron. He, of course, is the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears, and we are delighted to welcome in Dan Weeder. Dan joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. We got first day of kindergarten for the princess over here this morning, so it's an exciting morning inside the Weederer household.
Ah, that's wonderful. I think Brandon's taking his daughter to her first day of kindergarten today, too.
So time of year.
We've all been there and done it, and I'm talking about kindergarten. And no, it's a great magical moment, the first day of school. Really beautiful. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, well, we're ready to go, and I'm ready to get into week zero next week before we cross the bridge into week one.
Well, it's week zero in college football, so I think that we're excited about that on Saturday. But, Dan, tonight, the final preseason game for the Bears, not a lot to look for in terms of the starters, obviously. What will you be watching specifically?
Yeah, so, look, the initial 53-man roster is due to the league office on Tuesday afternoon of next week. And so you're trying to figure out where those true battles are. I kind of sketched it out last night, counted 42 guys that are no doubt, no questions asked, already guaranteed a roster spot for week one. And so then that leaves you 11 spots in a lot of various places. And so you're trying to figure out where those the biggest position battles are and where the biggest squeezes are. And then you got a chance to watch three quarterbacks tonight, including Tyson Bagent, who, David, as you and I talked about yesterday, in an ideal world, this will be his last game action on a football field in 2024. He's made a lot of development here in his second season. You want to see that continue. We all know better. We've all lived through enough Bear seasons to know that the QB2 is typically needed at some point during every Bear season for some reason or another. And so kind of tracking Tyson's continued growth, I think, is a big deal for this football team.
Yeah, I agree with that, Dan. You know, when I watch these games, I kind of tend to look at the lines. I'm very curious to see the offensive line. How many offensive linemen are in your 42? How many defensive linemen are in your 42? I think there are probably, they probably are more set on the offensive line, as crazy as that may sound to people, than they are. They might be a player short on the defensive line. They may need somebody from another team or
right
off the street. Whatever.
Yeah, and to that latter point, when you look at their defensive tackle depth, it doesn't leave you feeling great. With as much as we've kind of spent the offseason praising the rise of Jervon Dexter, between him and Andrew Billings on the starting line, there's not a lot of quality depth behind them. And so I do think you're right that they're going to keep exploring to see if there's something outside of the building that can help them fortify that depth going into the regular season. And the offensive line, I've got eight guys locked in on the 53-man, which leaves you with probably one, maybe two spots for that initial 53. And that leaves guys like Larry Borum and Jatari Carter and to some extent Doug Kramer fighting for a spot. And I say Doug Kramer's name because we don't have real clarity right now on what Ryan Bates' injury situation is. And so you've got Coleman Shelton right now holding down the number one center job. But if Bates is going to be out for a little while, then you're going to need somebody else that can snap the ball when you get into the regular season. And so you're going to have to play some of that roster mechanic musical chairs to get yourself in a good spot.
So, Dan, we were talking earlier about Keenan Allen and the kind of preseason he has had. As much as you have watched practice, how would you describe where he is in terms of preparation? And where did this notion that maybe he is past or maybe he is washed, where did that come from?
Or he put on 20 pounds, right?
And I honestly don't know where this stuff came from because Colleen Kane brought it up to me over the weekend. And I was thinking, man, like, where did this weight confusion come from there? Keenan looks like a veteran football player who's known how to run routes in this league for a decade or longer. He's coming off a year where obviously he missed the end of the season with an injury, but had 1,300 plus yards. He's still very capable of being a very productive receiver in this league. If anything has caused him to struggle a little bit during training camp, it's the guy wearing the number one jersey. Jalen Johnson has been a thorn in his side for a lot of the one-on-one battles, for a lot of seven-on-seven. Jalen is ascending, you know, and he's going to make life hard on people. But I don't have many concerns, if any, about Keenan Allen's readiness to contribute in the way the Bears offense needs him to when the regular season begins in a couple weeks.
Is Velus Jones on your list of guys who've made the team?
No, he is not. He's on that bubble list. And then you got to figure out which position are you trying to bubble him in? Because at the receiver position, you're trying to find a punt returner, Dante Pettis, DeAndre Carter, guys who can kind of hold down that fifth receiver spot with the ability to catch punts. Which one of those guys is going to kind of distinguish themselves here in the next few days to Ryan Poles and his staff? In the running backs room, you've got roster spots saved for Swift and Roshan and Travis Homer. And then that leaves you with Kari Blazingame, if you want to keep the fullback, at Khalil Herbert, who I think they're probably leaning towards keeping. And then that leaves Velus on the outside looking in. And so this will be a good closing argument for him in Kansas City tonight to show this coaching staff in a couple different phases that he can help them in some way. Otherwise, his time here with the Bears may be running short.
You mentioned Tyson Bagent, and you spent some time listening to him yesterday. Very entertaining. And he's very ambitious. I think, like a lot of young quarterbacks, the confidence is high right now. What do you make of what his career path could look like? And how do you explain a guy how a year ago we didn't really know who he was or where he came from? Now he's talking about doing things that nobody thinks possible in his career.
Here's how I explain it. He grinds his absolute face off. I mean, that is kind of the formula, you know, and as funny as it is, that is what Tyson has done his whole football life. And he had a lot of experience, albeit at the Division II level in college, playing the position, getting a feel for the position, understanding what things look like. And that's only grown here in his year plus with the Bears. I have no idea where his career ultimately ends up. I have no reason to tell him that it's not going to end up where he thinks it's going to end up, because the dude puts in the work every single day. I think one of the things that Dante Pettis told me earlier in the week is that he just comes into the building every day with an energy of a guy that is ready to work and he's ready to chase big goals, but is ready to do so with enthusiasm and fun that brings people along with him. And so that gets you support. It gets you support from coaches, teammates. It gets people to rally behind you. I think, David, the one thing that I've been really impressed with is Tyson went into this offseason understanding where his weaknesses were and really diving into those. One of those is getting better with the deep ball and developing arm strength in ways that isn't just about making your arm stronger. It's about making your core stronger, about understanding mechanics of how to throw that pass. And so you've got a guy who understands everything about himself and is going to squeeze the absolute most out of him. And we'll just ultimately see where that ends in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is.
You know, we had a long conversation about quarterbacks in the NFC. I think when you look at the list of them, it is not as daunting as the list in the AFC.
No doubt.
And if Caleb can meet some of the expectation, the Bears could really get on a roll here. I mean, when you really look at
it, man,
measure it, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, you're right, Mully, and it's why you roll this dice. You roll these dice on the chance to be excellent as a football franchise with a quarterback who can do those things. I remember when Aaron Rodgers left for New York and Tom Brady stepped out of the league for good this time. And you said, man, that just took two quarterbacks who were sort of the gatekeepers in the playoffs in the NFC out of the picture. And, you know, Breeze a little bit before that. It's a wide open landscape in the NFC. And you have an opportunity now, if Caleb Williams meets the hype, to open a door for a decade or longer of being a team that's consistently in the mix. And I don't know that any of us is truly prepared for it because of the last 12 years of our lives and watching them kind of just flutter in mediocrity for so long. The potential for that door to be opening, it like almost blows your mind. I'm sure you guys feel similarly.
What's the dynamic between Caleb Williams and Shane Waldron? And then, I guess, to a lesser degree, or maybe a greater degree, Caleb Williams and Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just open lines of communication right now. And I think Caleb has learned very early in his rookie season not to keep his mouth shut, that if he's uncomfortable, if he has questions, if he wants to alter something, he's going to bring it up and they're going to have a discussion and they're going to exchange those thoughts and try to work through it. everyone in the organization understands that their futures can be incredibly bright if this young man reaches his potential. And so having those open lines of communication is the first step of trying to create comfort. We always talk about the three C's with the quarterback position. You create the comfort, which leads to the confidence, which ultimately creates the command that opens doors. And so that is the process that's ongoing right here. I think Shane has been very impressed with how much he can load onto Caleb Williams without overwhelming him. And so they've done a lot of that in July and August and even going back into the spring. And so now you start to kind of pull that back and create your identity and refine and figure out what you want to be as an offense. The other thing that I'll say is that there is a admiration within the offensive meeting room for how well Caleb handles himself in the pocket. You know, we talked forever about Justin Fields' lack of pocket feel, and you saw that reflected in the sack rate numbers, and everybody blamed the offensive line and tried to find other scapegoats for that. Justin had historically bad sack rate numbers. I think you're going to see sack rate numbers from Caleb Williams that are like one fourth of what we saw with Justin Fields. And there's a feel for the pocket and a feel for the position that's really going to enhance his ability to succeed early.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see what those numbers look like, how long you hold the ball, et cetera, because even in the preseason, Justin Fields is holding the ball too long, and they're making a point of it in Pittsburgh. I'm curious about what you just said about him in the pocket, because one of the things that we've seen is his unbelievable ability, Mahomes-like ability, when he gets around the pocket, he's buying time and then able to throw, even moving to his left. An extraordinary thing, and we've seen a lot of pockets move. And I heard Rick Spielman, I believe, was on his podcast talking about how to defend him, and basically said that what you've seen in the preseason makes me believe that people have to keep him in the pocket. They're going to be trying to keep him in the pocket. Are the Bears playing him in the way they did, showing that he can hit all three levels of throws while moving in order to kind of get him into what is his comfort zone? Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, his comfort zone is outside the pocket. And that's why everyone sees this high level potential for him, because when you are good at what is not your best trait, all of a sudden you become really hard to defend. And so if teams make him stay inside the pocket and you're able to win from inside there, well, now what do you do? And that's what makes you the ultimate weapon offensively. I think forever, till the end of his NFL career, his ability to get off script and make plays on the move and throw that deep ball with incredible touch and accuracy to, as you mentioned, all three levels of the field while on the move is going to be the superpower. And now it's just like, okay, so what do you have when they try to take your superpower away? Well, you have another gift, which is the ability to stand inside the pocket and make throws. It's funny because on Monday morning, when I went back through the Bengals game, two of the throws that I started is like, yeah, that's what it's supposed to look like from an NFL quarterback, was a 9-yard completion to Cole Kmet, hit the top of your drop, rip it, throw it, completion, just take the nine and get on to the next play. And an 11-yarder later in the game to Simba Webster, similar thing. And then Shane Waldron brought those up unprompted in his introductory overview of how he thought Caleb played on Saturday afternoon. And so those are examples of a guy who understands the clock, who understands the need to take completions that are right there for you and not to try to make them take too long. Just be quick, process it, see it, throw it, rip it, take the yards and get on to the next play. If Caleb's able to do that, even at a medium level as a rookie, the offense starts to see its potential rise.
Dan, is there a quarterback in the NFC you would rather have for the next 3 to 5 years than Caleb Williams?
NFC or NFC North?
NFC.
Both. Because the answer is in the NFC North, but go ahead.
Yeah, because, you know, honestly, when I look through the NFC North, I don't see a guy that I would take instead of Caleb when you're opening up the doors to the future on this, right? It's not about now. It's about 25, 26, 27, 28. I'm trying to go through in my head right now who the other top tier quarterbacks are in the NFC. Am I missing somebody that I'm forgetting?
Hurts,
I'm
Dak, Hurts, to go,
yeah,
Stafford,
Hurts, Dak. I mean, Jordan Love, I think. You know, Brock Purdy, we didn't mention.
Outside the division, he's talking about Purdy. Yeah.
Okay, Kyler Murray, Baker
Bryce
Mayfield,
Young,
Geno Smith.
Yeah, you haven't turned my head.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is crazy, right? Like, it's crazy. It's like, that's what I mean when I say I don't know that we're ready for the idea that, wait a second, is this really – sort of that holy grail that the Bears have been chasing for 70 plus years. Has it really finally arrived? Now, look, like none of the three of us is going to get out in front of ourselves and do any premature coronations here. But I think what we're recognizing here is the potential and the gifts and the prerequisite that Caleb has for playing the position at a high level, and then just sort of sitting back in our seats and saying, like, yeah, let's go along for the journey here and let's see where it takes the Bears.
It's fun to talk about, but we haven't seen him play yet. I'm just saying. I
agree.
I think what's great about this kid is the confidence, the way he handles himself, the feeling that when the game comes to the important parts, the end of the game, let's say, he's going to win it for you. But we got to see it happen.
But we have seen him play.
But we haven't seen that part of it
yet. We've seen 43 snaps, and in 43 snaps, we're getting carried away. That's what we do.
That's true.
If we had not seen him play, this is not a question you're asking in May. You're asking it now because we have seen greatness in a glimpse. But you wonder if that's sustainable. I think that's the point of the exercise. Is this a guy that in 43 snaps is going to be able to provide that over the next 5 to 7 to 10 years?
But so, like, to Mully's point, and I'm with Mully on this from the standpoint of, like, now go show us you can win football games, right? And that means making plays when there are plays to be made in the first three quarters. And then when the game's on the line and the ball's in your hands, you go out and you win football games. We know what the previous quarterback here's track record was in the fourth quarter, what his track record was with the game on the line and the ball in his hands. It was terrible. And it's the reason he's not here anymore. Caleb has to erase that. Look, we don't have long enough today to get into it, but maybe our week zero segment centers around the conversation that we were having 2 years ago about how football teams, quote unquote, learn to win. And I think the three of us were on the same page of, you need to have a quarterback who not only shows the capability of winning football games late, but creates the belief and the momentum that every time you get in one of those situations, you're going to get it done. That's what Patrick Mahomes does. It's why he's got 3 Super Bowl rings and 2 MVP awards. He gets the ball in the fourth quarter, and no matter what's happened for the first 3, the guys get in the huddle and they go, we're winning this football game, you know, and they consistently do it. Caleb has to take that test, and he has to pass that test. And ultimately he's going to have to get an A on that test for Chicago to feel as good about their future as the promise seems to be right now.
Great stuff, Dan. Really fun talking about it. And that's, it's good that we have a subject for week zero.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, right. Let's go. we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the game tonight and have a good weekend.
All right, buddy. Take care. That's Dan Wiederer, and David and Dan do the great podcast. Make sure you tune in. They'll react to everything that's going on.
Yeah, a new episode dropped yesterday. Take the North.
Yeah, great stuff. And well worth learning from. We are we're going to come back and talk about the quarterback stuff a little bit more. I could talk. I mean, I literally love talking NFL quarterback, talking about Caleb Williams. It's just been so much fun.
And top of the hour, Ian O'Connor wrote about another quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Yep. And we'll talk to him.
We'll get to him a little bit later. And wow, it's an interesting book. He goes into Aaron Rodgers' journey with ayahuasca, which I think is well worth the conversation. Have you been to Peru, Mr. David?
No.
Been to the border, but I never had a chance to indulge mercifully. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.